Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there, or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. What's going on, everybody? How are you? Hopefully you can hear me tuning in. I have taken this to a new strategy and new level this week. Normally I was using a different platform. Now I'm doing it through Zoom. If you're watching this, you're catching it through the Zoom webinar directly. And when you hear the word webinar, you think slides and boring stuff. Don't worry, there's no slides here. I also have it going to Facebook, to the Cutter Consulting Group business page. So if you're there, welcome. Also LinkedIn to my personal feed. It's going to YouTube. And then I also have my phone set up where it's going to Instagram Live. So wherever you're at, wherever you're tuning in, make sure to check it out and be here each Friday. So I'm doing these at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. So keep tuning in. And if you haven't checked them out before, there's been two other episodes. This is number three. They are about to go live. Actually, episode number one, week number one from 2 weeks ago, is now live as a replay on the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast. So if you are familiar with that podcast and you're subscribed to it, you'll notice a new episode hit this morning and it's the replay. My goal is to take these weekly lives in case you miss them and turn them into a replay by the next week, have them go on there, and that way you can find them. So make sure to check that out. If you're not familiar with that podcast, there's over 400 episodes. Episode number 400 was a very fun guest to have on the show. And I took a break for a long while. And now I'm using that platform for these. Go wherever you get podcasts, check that one out. It's called The Authentic Persuasion Show. And that way you can download episodes. Go in the past, like I said, there's now 402 episodes. So there's a whole lot of things that you can pull up from the past. I have some other podcasts as well, but we're not going to talk about that today. I want to talk about what I'm doing with these and why I'm doing it, just to give you some context. So my mission is to empower and encourage over a million authentic persuaders out there in the world of sales. And sales could be you work at a company, you work for yourself, you're inside salesperson, maybe you're a solopreneur and you're selling something for yourself. You're an independent salesperson, whatever that looks like. Most everyone is in sales and has some sales aspect to them. And the key is that my goal is to get a million authentic persuaders out there in the world. And by doing that, will help shift the way that consumers think and feel about sales and salespeople. Because let's be honest, most people feel that sales is a dirty word. And if you're in sales and you're struggling to be successful, it might be because you also feel that way and you want to make sure that you don't do the gross stuff that salespeople tend to do. So let's go ahead and dive into this. The format I'm going to do is as much training as I can fit in, at least 30 minutes. If you're watching on the various platforms, please put a question, a comment, say hello, anything you have that's sales related, and I'll get to those towards the end. And if you want to follow along with this, if you have a copy of Selling with Authentic Persuasion, Transform from Order Taker to Quota Breaker, then we're going through that and enhancing what's in there and adding to what I wrote that came out last year. and just making it something that you can use that's very practical and tactical for you. If you don't have a copy of that, please, I'm going to mention it at the end, but email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I'll set you up with the info to get a free copy of that. Just pay the shipping and I'll get that out to you. I'll sign it, send it, and then that way you have that as well. So what we've talked about so far and what we covered last week was the 5 sales success traits. And those traits are openness, curiosity, persistence, creativity, and authenticity. So make sure and check out week 2, the training that we did. And really the goal and where we're going with this is to help you realize and feel empowered that you can create whatever sales career that you want and become a sales professional and make yourself into whatever level of salesperson you want. And this is mostly to attack and debunk the myth that there's natural born salespeople who are amazing. And then there's everyone else who are going to be mediocre. They're going to struggle, whatever that looks like. And so the key is I want to encourage and empower you to embrace the fact that if you want to be amazing in sales, and again, everything in life is sales. So if you want to be amazing at this, the key is to see those traits, look at where you're at, analyze that, figure out what your strengths are, where you're good at, where you want to improve, and then just work on those over time. Put in the effort and just focus on that. It's really the key is that it's being prepared, it's learning, it's growing, it's always want to develop. Just like sales or actual professionals in other fields, let's say like athletes or medical professional or a lawyer, there's so much training, there's so much that goes into it. And then what you see is usually a small portion of their life because the rest of it is in practice, it's in study, it's in training, it's in prep. In sales, here's the challenging part, is it's not that way. There's no professional organization, there's nobody giving you years and years of training. There's no long process to get certified or ready for a career in sales. It's just something that happens. Most people are thrown into it and try to figure it out, kind of like what I did when I started in sales at age 27. And then what happens is you're usually too busy selling. And in the act of trying to sell and trying to persuade people and trying to make money and trying to be successful in sales, what happens is the practice part isn't happening. The studying isn't happening. The reflecting, the looking back and seeing what's going on isn't happening. And so then it's just not there, right? And so the key is that you want to make sure and always be putting in the effort, all right? And remember, and this I've seen it with myself and others, say true successful salespeople are not born that way. They're made that way. Some of them might be working at it for a much longer time since they were kids. Others were a little late bloomers, were a little slow like myself and had to figure it out later on in life, but you can do it. So this week, the topic is going to be 2 different sides. The first is no fear and the other one is your why. And those are 2 separate topics, but they both play into this authenticity piece, the part where people are struggling in sales and they want to be successful and they want to be authentic and they want to be who they are and they want to bring who they know they could be to the conversations. But a lot of times they're also trying to fit this mold or this template. And so we're going to continue to bust those today. So the first aspect of what we want to cover today is no fear. And I don't mean N-O fear. I don't mean like have no fear. That's not a thing. It's not possible. And I would say that most everything that I've read, everything that I've heard is it's not possible to have no fear, to have zero fear. The fear I'm talking about, the no fear is K-N-O-W, no fear. You want to know the fear that you're dealing with. Because here's the thing is that you cannot get rid of fear. Fear is just there. It's inside of us. And we're going to talk about that and where this comes from and why. So you have an understanding. The key is to know the fear, feel the fear and do it anyway. Right? That's very popular strategy is you understand it. You have the fear. Just do it anyway. People that go skydiving or bungee jumping, it's not that they have no fear. It's just that they understand that the fear is there and they want to do it anyway. They want to push. Anytime I hit live here or I go on stage or I'm doing a podcast or a sales presentation, that fear is there. The butterflies are there. Things are going on. Hesitation. My mind is kicking in.
just do it anyway. So that's the big key. As you see here, each week I keep doing these things, changing it up. Sometimes it works well. Sometimes there's some issues. Just do it anyway. That is the key. So the fear that we're talking about and where this comes from is rooted in the fact that at our base level, as primal human beings, keep in mind, we've been around for a long time as a species, and we've gotten to the point where we're at because we've learned how to survive and we've learned how to thrive. Those are two different things. And the big key is the reason we've learned how to survive is that we, and that part in our brain, the amygdala, we as a species and as an individual figure out what works for us, what doesn't work, what the boundaries of our comfort zone are, and then we just stay in that. Safety is inside our comfort zone. And the key is that our default nature is to stay safe and comfortable. People want to stay in their safety zone, in their comfort zone. That's what we do, right? Like a long, really not that long ago, eating the wrong berry or eating the wrong food or going to the wrong part of your territory at the wrong time of year, like misjudging the season, could equal death, right? Like not timing it right with things that are growing or animals that are available or things that you could hunt. Wasn't that long ago that leads to some serious problems. And here's what's interesting is that while most of us, most people who are watching this, tuning in some kind of sales role, where you have access to the internet, you're watching this, you're wanting to develop your skills, life is fairly comfortable. It's much more comfortable. There's not a saber-toothed tiger or a lion that's waiting and lurking, trying to kill us or eat us around every turn. We don't have that. But the challenge is our brain has been conditioned, again, because the fact that we've made it to where we have, dominating the planet for good or for bad, because we know how to survive and we know how to thrive. The first part is that survive is that we're always on the lookout for danger and we want to stay where it's safe. Now, why does this matter? I mean, it matters in a couple ways. Now, in several sessions, we're going to talk about how this applies to your customers, your prospects. Now we're talking about you, because remember, this authentic persuasion framework and the whole process and what I wrote about and what I teach is that the first part is we've got to deal with you and what's authentic for you so you can be successful. I could give you all the tactics, strategies, closing lines, anything in the world, say this, respond with this, do this. It wouldn't matter at some level if you don't know how to be authentic to you. You don't know why you want to be in sales. You don't know what you're afraid of. And you don't know how to apply those tools for you. And so that's one of the big keys. That's why we're starting with this. So when we're talking about comfort zone and we're talking about safety and what we know, remember your brain, all of our brains, the amygdala, that part of our brain that's all about looking for danger and keeping us safe, it is trained to imagine and see danger around every turn. Okay. There is very much a important survival mechanism in our brain. And I think most animals have this, where it is more beneficial to you to mistakenly see five lions than to miss one actual lion, right? That's why a lot of people, they see shadows, they get afraid, they hear noises. All of these things are triggering our primal brain to be watching out for danger, even though it's really safe. Like when you're at home and you hear a noise, your brain is thinking, oh my gosh, I'm under attack or something dangerous is coming. The reason why is your brain is always on alert looking for danger, and it's okay being wrong and it's happy being wrong because at least you were safe. Versus you just tune everything out, you take everything for granted, and you know, it's like walking across the street and not looking both ways, whatever, nothing can hurt me. Then you get hit by a bus, right? It's much better to be on high alert and be wrong than to just mail it in, be casual, and then be wrong on that side. And so that's what's in our brain. And so that's what's planted in there, where that fear center is keeping us in our comfort zone and keeping us safe. Now, why does this have to do with sales? Well, this has to do with sales because that is there. And so it's probably telling you, either based on all of that that's in your brain, past experiences prior to even getting into sales. It's telling you what it thinks is dangerous, and it's trying to keep you safe. And then what it wants to do is keep you from doing anything that feels dangerous or could harm you, right? And that's where our fear comes in. That's where that hesitation to pick up the phone and call somebody, to reach out to somebody, to move the conversation towards the sale, to get on stage, to do events like this, anything like that is our brain saying that is unsafe, that is dangerous, things could happen. That's one part of it. And you really want to get in touch with that and understand, why is this happening? And I'm going to give you a technique and strategy from Tim Ferriss that I heard that's really effective for this as well. The other part of fear and your comfort zone and why we try to stay safe is that one of the ways that we were so successful as a species in surviving and then thriving is the fact that we did it as a group. We are a tribal species. We are a tribal society. Now, there's animals out there. They're born, they leave the nest or the cave or the burrow, whatever it might be. They're on their own. They're doing their own thing. It's up to them. It's them versus the world. Us as humans, what happened was it's us as a group versus the world. And because of that, I firmly believe that's why we have done so well. That's why we have dominated most things on this planet. Again, some of it for good. Some of it not so good because we don't know when to stop. So what happens is we are a tribal species. We have survived and thrived as a group. What happens though, is that if you're not doing well with the tribe or you're seen as a danger to the tribe, then you would get kicked out. And in fact, what's interesting, if you read the book Sapiens, it talks about the fact that there are tribes still in the world today in remote places where they're nomadic tribes that are just completely living like they did for a long time. And if somebody is sick, if somebody's making a lot of noise, if somebody's not contributing, if somebody is dying, they literally leave them behind and then keep moving on, right? And so that part of our brain is hardwired in there. We do not want to be banished from the tribe. We do not want to stand out. We do not want to get kicked out. We do not want to run the risk of being ousted from the group. That is worse than anything. Like if you look at prisons, so being put in solitary confinement is usually the worst thing they can do. And there's limits to it because that can be seen as cruel and inhumane to isolate somebody from everybody else. And that's in a prison setting, right? And if you think about our lives, we don't want to be banished. It's why people are feared public speaking over death, right? Most people's number one fear is public speaking. Number two is death. And the reason why is they don't want to do public speaking, mess up, get embarrassed, be ashamed. And then that triggers that potentially getting kicked out of the tribe of humans. Making your phone calls, reaching out to people, asking them if they want to buy, and they say no and they reject you, triggers that part of your ego, of your mind that's deep in there that says, I just got rejected. That's a rejection against me. I might get kicked out of the tribe, or I might not be valuable, or I might be left out of things. And that's what holds a lot of people back. So look at that as far as the two main components for where you're maybe holding yourself back and why that is. Now, here's the thing that Tim Ferriss says to do, and this is a really good strategy. You can look it up. He goes into a lot of detail about it, but it's called the fear setting. Now, usually we talk about goal setting, and I'm actually the second half of this, we're going to address goals and why you do what you want to do and why you want to be successful. So there's that part, but we got to deal with the fear first. Before we can talk about all the nice hopes and dreams and the things that you want to create in your life, that's great. But if you have all these fears that you're not even aware of and you're not paying attention to, again, they're never going to go away. But if you're not paying attention to them, none of those hopes and dreams and goals matter because you literally won't move. You won't take action. You won't go forward and it just won't work and it won't be successful. So what Tim Ferriss has, this strategy is called fear setting. And what you're actually doing is playing out the worst case scenario in your mind of what would happen if things go terribly south. Right? And I'll give you an example. So you're reaching out to somebody, you're afraid to reach out to somebody, and you're worried that they're not going to buy from you. And so you hesitate from even calling them, and you don't want to call them, and you hold yourself back, right? You have that fear of the phone. You're hesitating from using the phone instead of being excited to use the phone and to call somebody or to even ask for the sale. So then what happens? You play that out in your mind, just like Tim Ferriss says, and say, okay, what happens if they don't buy from me? What's the worst case scenario? I don't make the sale. Then what's the worst case scenario? Just keep going with this. All right. Well, I don't make my numbers. Okay. Then what happened for this week? Oh, then what happens? Then I will lose my job. Okay. I lose my job. Then what? Well, I won't be able to pay my mortgage. Okay. Then what happens? Well, then I won't be able to get another job, and then I will lose my house, and then I'll be homeless. Okay. And then my family will leave me, and I will be homeless under a bridge where I will probably die alone and sad and whatnot. That's pretty extreme. Our primal brain literally goes there without you even thinking about it. Some people actually know they're going there, and you can see them spinning out of control with the worst case scenarios of everything in their life and what ifing everything to the extreme. But most of the time, people don't do that. And if you play that out, you realize just how extreme that would be and how most of those things wouldn't happen. So let's say you don't get the sale today. Okay. Are you going to get fired? Well, if you're already in trouble, there's a good chance that if you just can't make any sales, you're going to get fired. Well, is there a chance that you won't get a new job by the time your house is going to go get into foreclosure, or you would be homeless? Yeah, you'd probably get another job and work it out. And if you were homeless, is there other people you could stay with instead of living under a bridge? Yeah. And is there things that you and your family can do? Yeah. So what you do is when you go through that whole fear setting exercise, you realize, hopefully the goal is that those extremes aren't going to happen. There's so many things in the way that you will catch before it goes to that limit. And I said this to people, like I've been through a bunch of different things in my life, and by a bunch of different things, I mean things that I didn't really want that weren't the greatest and most pleasant things, you know, the ups and downs of life and doing various things and relationships and business and money and all those things. And what I say all the time is, I mean, so far I haven't been homeless, right? Like it may be bad, but it's never gone to there. There's always a way. There's always a solution. So keep that in mind, because then what happens is when you're going to make that call and you're hesitating, you're like, wait, it's not that bad. Like if they say no, I'll just make the next call. So hopefully that helps. Hopefully that plants some seeds on how you can deal with fear, because that's the big thing. Now let's talk about how to transition away from fear and move forward. And it's a big thing. Now, I talked about the 5 sales success traits last week, openness, curiosity, persistence, creativity, and authenticity. There's another one in there that's not part of those, but it's super important to always be working on, which is confidence. And confidence is that self-assurance that you have of yourself based on what you've done, based on what you know, and past examples of your success. It's tough to be confident unless you've had some success. Now, you can fake it till you make it, but really if you want to be successful and you want to be confident, you have to have the success. And it's kind of like this catch 22. But what you want to do is always focus on your confidence. Focus on what it is that you know that you can do, what you're good at, the aspects you have, what's authentic to you, and then be able to apply that. Now, here's what's interesting is people are generally confident in some part of their life. Now, maybe you are really good at cooking and not so good at sales, or not so good at outbound calls or asking for the sale, whatever that is, right? Maybe you're good in a certain sport or trivia knowledge or things like that. It's not over here. Whatever you can do, look at those aspects of your life and go, hey, I'm pretty good over there. I know I can do the same thing over here because I learned that, right? You're not born with trivia knowledge. You're not born with being good at sports or cooking. It's something you developed, just like what I keep saying about sales and your sales ability. So remember that. It's so important. I'm covering it super quick, but make sure you focus on building your confidence in yourself and always having examples. Now, what we're going to talk about is why you do what you do to be successful, why you want to be successful, and what's the most important part of being successful long-term for yourself. One of the things, if you want to build confidence, that's a really good tip. And I'm not going to go into a ton of detail. If you want some information about this, please email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. I will set you up with some information, some strategies. I'll even show you what I have for this. But what you want to do and what I focus on is I call it a progress scrapbook. And I actually will put these together and then print them up because it helps me remember the things that I have. So when I'm facing that, or even when rejection happens, you ask for that sale and it doesn't happen. It's like, wait a second, was that me? Was it them? Wait, I know I can do things. Like, and this is examples of what I've done. So imagine a scrapbook, imagine all these memories that you have, but it's about your progress to help you build up the confidence in your mind. And really the enemy that we are focused on is not the sales, it's not the phone, it's that fear part of your brain that wants to keep you safe, that wants to keep you from taking risks and doing anything that could damage your ego. Again, that's why we started with that, is you want to make sure that you're overcoming that with the logical part of your brain, fighting that primal part of your brain just wants to keep you safe. Sometimes it's really important to look backwards and look at your successes and go, wait a second, I know what I'm doing. I've had some successes. I've been down this path. I've made it work before. I've closed deals. I've been successful. There's no reason I can't keep doing it. Let's go, right? Pick yourself back up and keep going. Because usually it's in those moments where you get knocked down and you're like, man, am I just bad at this? Do I even know what I'm doing? Yes. If you have those past things, yes. And just keep building that for you. And that will help with your confidence. Now, this last portion that I want to cover and what I want to talk about is the most important factor for your success, which I mentioned, which is understanding and knowing why you want to be in sales, why you want to be successful, why you want to create what you want in your life. And now this is tough for people. Most of us are conditioned, especially if you're in sales, especially if you work for a company, and then this tradition is just handed down over time. Most people are conditioned to focus on extrinsic motivations. Now, what does that mean? Extrinsic means external. In a sales environment, that means the carrot or the stick. And what does that mean? Well, the carrot is your manager saying, hey, if you close more deals this week, I'll give you $100 or I'll give you a TV. Hey, if you hit your numbers and exceed them this quarter, here's what we're going to give you. We're going to pay you this. Hey, if everyone hits this number, we're going to go and do a weekend or a happy hour or a golf trip or an evening out, whatever that looks like, right? That is the carrot. It's essentially a bribe to get you to do more. It's a reward for getting you to do more. But generally in sales, you have a compensation plan already that hopefully should be paying you to do more. If you sell 10 widgets, you get this. If you sell 12 widgets, you get this. 15 widgets, you get this. You hopefully already have a compensation plan that rewards you. When your manager or when somebody comes and says, if you sell 15, you're already getting this, but I'll also give you this, then they're trying to bribe you. They're trying to motivate you externally to do more for some reason. Either there's a business need or they want to hit some goal or that manager has a bonus at risk and somebody else isn't performing. They're trying to get everyone to be successful. And so what happens is it's external. There's nothing wrong with that. The downside with external, with the carrot, is that most people just get used to it. Right? If you were a kid or if you have kids and you gave an allowance or you promised a treat, if they did something, hey, clean your room and then we'll go get ice cream, right? That's an external, extrinsic motivation. Nothing wrong with that. Next week, say, hey, clean your room and we'll get ice cream. The kid says, I got ice cream last time. What do I get this time? Right? And if you've been a parent, you know that conversation, which is like, okay, the ice cream turns into this, turns into that, turns into this. And it just keeps escalating. The problem is that most people get essentially desensitized to external motivations such that it just has to keep improving. We get used to it. Okay, I'll give you five. Like, when you're new in sales, and I've seen this with so many new salespeople, hey, the next person that closes the deal, I'll give you $5. Yay, everyone's excited. Yeah, we're going to get $5. Then the next day, all right, anybody who closes the deal, I'll give you $5. Like, I already got $5, right? Like, now I want 10. Right? Because now I know it's possible. So let's raise the stakes. And so that's the challenge with it. Now, it also goes for the other side, which is the stick. The stick and the carrot and stick external extrinsic motivations is the negative. It's the consequence. It's the one that we don't like. It's the things that we don't talk about. We don't want to deal with. In the kid example, it's the clean your room or else, right? You're grounded. I'm taking away your TV. I'm turning off the internet. I'm whatever, right? It's that negative perceived consequence that comes from not achieving something. In sales, it's usually the, if you don't hit this, we're going to have a meeting, or I'm going to put you through training again, or you're going to have to meet with HR, do a performance improvement plan. If that doesn't work, then we'll fire you. Downside with that is people also get conditioned and used to the threats and the negative, right? Especially if they're not followed through, but even if they are followed through, somebody could say, like that kid example, because we can all relate to this. Clean your room or you're going to lose TV for an hour. Well, if I really don't want to clean my room, or that kid really doesn't want to do it, and they see the trade-off and they just want to put their foot down, okay, fine, whatever. I won't watch TV. I'll sit and play in my dirty room. It's fine with me. For me as a kid, my room was where all the toys were. So if there was ever a punishment, my parents wouldn't send me to my room, because I was like, okay, I'll just go there. That's where all my toys are. I was like, go to your room for an hour. Okay, that sounds great. Instead, they'd be like, you know, go sit in the living room for an hour. It's like, okay, let's make it fair. But depending on what I was supposed to be doing, that might be better. Maybe I didn't want to be picking up dog poop in the backyard all day. Who knows, right? So the downside with the consequence, just like the carrot, is that it's external and it has limited power and it will be ineffective, and the bar will have to be raised. The positive has to be raised over time. The negative has to be raised over time. That's the problem with extrinsic. That's how most people operate. Most people in their life are motivated by the external. It's how we are. Again, going back to this is so important. A lot of you tuning in might be thinking, dude, I thought you're going to help us close more deals. And I am. And we've got to understand what's at your core, what's going on in your head that you can control, that's on autopilot, that's there for thousands, millions of years inside of all of us that we're battling and dealing with. And again, I mentioned this earlier, remember this, put these things down, because when we talk about your potential clients, they are also human. Insider tip, they're also people, which means they have all of these things going on in their head as well. And they're probably even more on autopilot. And so you're up against a very big challenge in sales, which we will figure out. But for you, the reason why I'm focusing on this is because I want you to be motivated for your reasons. Most of us are extrinsically motivated. It happens. Do this or else. If you're doing this, it's going to be bad, right? That's where like speed limits and police giving speeding tickets come in, right? It's the stick. If you don't follow the rules, here's the consequence. Here's the trade-off, right? You got the insurance companies that are like, hey, here's a good driver discount. If you don't have any accidents, we'll give you this reward. We'll give you like lower rates or lower premiums. Great. It's the carrot or the stick. And if you are internally motivated to just be a good driver and be safe, you don't need those. You don't care about them. You don't worry about when a police officer is behind you on the freeway, because you're just doing what you should be doing and you're not worried about it. And so that's the same thing with sales. Is the key is that take what you've got, you're looking at these external motivations, the carrot or the stick. And if you're in management and leadership, this one is super important. And in fact, I have an ebook. I'll mention it right now. Email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. I will send it to you. You can buy it, the Kindle version on Amazon, but I will email it to you. It's called Motivating Your Sales Team So You and They Can Win. It's a short tactical PDF ebook. Email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. I'll send that to you. And that way you've got it. You can use it. There's some activities. I also have worksheets to go with that as well. And so if you want those for you and for your teams, just email me, let me know. I'm happy to send those to you. So let's get to the alternative. So there's the external, the carrot and the stick. Then the key is that how do we go to a better place for motivating and being successful and doing what you want to do to be successful, pushing past all that fear, pushing past everything that's not working or that gets in your way. And the answer is intrinsic motivation. Intrinsic, just like it sounds, is internal motivation, which is coming from you. And that's you and what drives you. And here's the thing, is that most people have some level of intrinsic motivation, but maybe not enough. Maybe they're not pushing themselves hard enough. And I will speak for myself. I have this at times. I have this many times where it's like, I'm going through the motions. I'm doing what I know I should be doing, but am I doing enough? Am I pushing myself hard enough? And then there's times where it's clear and I'm just going to go through any brick wall that's in the way. Nothing is going to stop me. Nothing matters. And Like, I'm just going to do it. And so the key is to get yourself to a place of as deep a possible intrinsic motivation. And how you do that, one of the best strategies that I've found is that using your why, W-H-Y, for why you want to be successful in sales, right? Once you know your why, once you determine your why, the key is that you can then use that to motivate yourself to keep going, right? Now it's no longer about what is your manager going to bribe you with today, or what threats might you be dealing with at work to light a fire under you so that you can do a little bit more, make extra calls, or, you know, push people a little bit harder on the conversations to try to close deals. Instead of those things, what happens is the new shift to internal motivation, you doing it for you. And we all know people who we've seen, like, if that's not necessarily you, you want to be that person, but you don't have it, then perfect. You're in the right place. If that is you, this is a great confirmation. But we've all seen those people. I remember once I had this woman who worked for me. She had two kids, single mother, and she was the most motivated individual I have seen on a sales floor that needed no prompting, no extrinsic stuff, no bonus amounts, no bribes, no like spiffs, no contests. None of that stuff mattered. Now, usually she won them anyway, but it wasn't because that's what drove her to do more. She just was at the top. And the reason why is because she knew she had to. Single mother, two kids. If she wasn't successful in sales and wasn't making enough money, that was going to be bad. Like that fear setting we were talking about earlier, she knew where that would go, and she wasn't going to let that happen to her family. She knew she had to do it. In fact, we usually had to tell her to leave and not work so much and just kind of like stay in the parameters of what we needed at the company. She was so motivated versus other people who literally showing up late, trying to leave early, calling in sick a lot, taking lots of breaks, like, you know, coming back late from lunch, not making their phone calls, constantly being at the bottom of the reports, constantly being the subject of meetings with HR. That's the other end, right? And those people didn't have enough internal motivation. They needed to be extrinsically motivated, positive or negative. But when you have that internal, when you have that why, and when your why is bigger than your fears, then you will make everything happen and anything happen that you want to go after. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to happen instantly, right? Like, it's not just like the internet where you go on Amazon, you find something, you click on it, you wait a few hours or a day and it arrives, right? The things that you want to create aren't going to happen instant. It's not a click and ship type of life that we live in our head for our goals, even though it's now feels like it, right? Because we can have everything and anything that we want. The key is that you want to identify what your why is and how that fits into what your motivations are. Now, what are your why? Well, you could say that everybody in sales just is there to make money. They want to make money. They're there to make money, as much money as possible, you know, make it rain, right? Like, that's what everyone defaults to when they think of sales. So I love sales because I can make as much money as I want. Why? Why do you want to make that money? Why is that money important to you? That's the question to ask. Well, I want to make money because I don't want to have to worry about money. Okay. Why? Why don't you want to have to worry about money? Well, when I was a kid, my parents didn't have a lot of money. And so we were constantly struggling and stressed, and I didn't have the cool things that everyone else had. And I felt like it was drama at the house all the time, and money was a sore subject. Okay. And so when you ask yourself enough times, and really the key is if you can ask at least five times, ask why. Is that important to you? Or why do you want that relative to your goal or why you want it when we're talking about money? So you, of course, you were in sales to make money. Why? What does that money represent to you? Why do you want to have that money? Why do you want a certain amount of money, right? Oh, I want to make $100,000 this year. Okay, that's great. Why? Oh, I want to pay all my bills. Okay, great. Why? Just keep doing that exercise with yourself until you can get to the root. And here's the key, is the deeper you will let yourself go with why you want to do it, the deeper you can get to in your mind, and the biggest amount that has an emotional level for you, where it's like, because I had this friend who I was a business partner with when I lived in Seattle. And his biggest thing was his parents struggled. Dad was an entrepreneur, constantly were moving several times, possibly getting foreclosure evicted. He swore he would never go through that again. And he was so motivated and is still so motivated. And in my opinion, very successful what he does with business and finance, because he's driven at that deep level that he literally will not go back to a lifestyle that was like that when he was a kid. And that motivates him. And you can't stop him. You literally cannot stop him, which is amazing. And so that's where you want to get to, is digging deep until you find that. And again, the goal is, here's the thing. People might say, well, I want to buy a new car. Okay, that's great. Like, if you can push yourself to go, why do you want a new car? Or why do you want a new house? What does that mean to you? Because again, the bigger the emotional meaning and significance for you around that item or that thing or the travel or the freedom or retirement or money and savings to help your family in case of emergency, those things, the bigger you make that emotional connection, the more value it will have when it comes to the fears that are going to be battling you, the ones that you're already dealing with, the ones that want to get in your way. Is every time I've seen someone who's struggling with being successful in sales and is hesitating and getting trapped in fear and getting locked in fear, what happens is they don't have a why that's big enough compared to their fears. They're letting their fears be bigger than their why and their goals and what they want and what they say they want. And there's an imbalance. Okay. Now, here's the thing. So take that, spend some time. If you can, spend some time today, this weekend, in general, and figure that out. If you're struggling in sales, or you're struggling to take action, or struggling to make things happen on a goal that you say is important, or something that you're going after, step back, spend the time, figure out your why, figure out your why's why your why matters, and go as deep as you can until you find that thing that just, like, it's like a lightning bolt. It just energizes you. You know, you want to make it happen. You don't care. And it's now bigger. And then you can reference that. Now, go through that exercise. And then here is the other part. This is the part that is so important, is that you want to take that why and the whys around it and the goals that you have, and you want to turn them into a visual reminder. Now, many times I tell people this, and they think it's hokey. They think it's silly. They think it's very woo-woo because they talked about it a lot in the movie, The Secret. And people think, that doesn't happen. Like, that doesn't work. Like, that seems silly. Here's the deal, is what you want to do is you want to take that why and anything of significance around your goals and the reason why you want to achieve those goals and turn them into a visual reminder. You want to put them on a vision board. And again, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. I have a worksheet and a template and some stuff around this for you. If you want some help, you want some ideas, how do you create that? Email me, I'll send you the PDF worksheet for that. The key is with the vision board is that you want to make something that when you look at it is a reminder and an energizer of what it is that you want and why. Now, I don't mean just a picture of a car or a picture of a house. It could be quotes, it could be phrases, pictures of family, friends, places you want to travel to, anything that has significance, anything that you look at. You look at this vision board and you instantly get reconnected with the why behind what you're doing. You want to be successful in sales. You want to make $100,000. Okay, great. Why? You go through that exercise. You put those visual cues on a board of any size. There's no rules. There's no structure. You can put it wherever you want. You could just wallpaper your whole room or office or cubicle with it. It doesn't matter. Key is make that vision board. And then when you look at it, you go, okay, that's why I'm doing this. And here's why this matters. Again, we need our why to be bigger than our fears. And sales is tough. I keep talking about this. I'll keep mentioning it. That's why not everybody wants to be in sales. A lot of people can't hack it, can't handle being in sales. It's because it's tough even when you're amazing. When you're amazing at sales, you might close 30% of your deals, which means you're missing 70% of the shots that you're taking. And that's tough mentally. It's tough on our ego. It feeds our fears that say, this is dangerous. Don't do it. Don't do sales. Stop. Just stay in your comfort zone. Stop doing this. Maybe go work somewhere else at a factory. And then you don't have to expose your ego and your sensitive side to danger, hazards, getting kicked out of the tribe, all the things we talked about in the fear portion of today's training. The key is you want that why to be bigger than that, because things will not always be perfect in sales. You may make 10 calls and hear no 10 times. What's going to get you to pick up the phone the 11th time to make an 11th call after hearing no the first 10 times, or the 21st call, or the 51st call, or the 181st call today? Like, what are you going to do? How are you going to motivate yourself? And how are you going to push yourself to make that next call that you know you want to make? And notice I said specifically, and the word I use is, how are you going to motivate yourself to make that next call? Because here's the challenge. Most people are looking for extrinsic motivations. That's why I was talking about that a few minutes ago. They're looking for, I made 10 calls, I heard no, and they're looking for some other motivation, either a positive motivation, the carrot, where their manager says, here, you know what, make your 11th call, close that deal, I'll give you the $10 or a TV or whatever it is. Or the fear of, I know if I don't make this 11th call, then I'm going to get in trouble. And if I keep getting in trouble, I'm going to get fired. So I'm going to do it from a place of fear instead of internal. The key is you want to move to internal, intrinsic motivation, see, knowing what you want to create in your life, what you want to go after, and having that being bigger than the fear, than the rejection, than the stumbling blocks. Like Les Brown says, fall down 7 times, get up 8. What is going to help you get up that 8th time, make that 51st phone call? It will be your vision board, your vision, your why, what you want. And so do that. Now, what's interesting is that when I have run sales training with new people, one of the things I always do is, as an exercise for new salespeople in that position at the company, is we actually do vision boards. We go through the process, people bring in pictures or email them in, and then we print them at the company. And it sometimes it feels silly. It's like an art and craft project where you're literally cutting out and taping things or gluing them or pinning them on a board. But that's the activity. Now, some of you might think, okay, I'm not going to do that. I know I use like Canva, and then I've also done it in Word and in PowerPoint. You could do a virtual one and then print that as one page, whatever it works. Again, if you want some tips on that or some guides, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I will send you what I have about vision boards and the worksheets that you can use. And again, if you're a leader of a team, the key is that if you want to be successful with your sales team more than you have before, then what you want to do is get them to each think more and more intrinsically and motivate themselves, so you don't have to micromanage or push or bribe or threaten or all those things. And they're all motivated by their own reasons. When you do that, then you'll have a very successful team. So the key is that I have an ebook for that, the Motivating Your Sales Team. Email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Now, there is a bunch of rules when it comes to your why. Most of them, just so you know, are about not judging them. One of the biggest things I see is that people compare their why with other people's why. They say, well, I just want to get a new car, but that person's, you know, a single mother and they're feeding their family, so my why is not important. I'm not married. I don't have kids. I don't have a house, right? Like, I see that all the time, especially with younger people. They're like, well, I just live with my parents and, you know, I'd like to be able to travel and take a vacation. You know, I want to go to Mexico for a week next year. Okay. And they go, well, that's not really that important or special because, you know, Bob over there is married with kids and has a house, and that's way more important. So mine's not that important. Do not judge yourself. Do not compare your current goal and why with anybody else's. Do not compare where you are in your life with where other people are in their life. Even if they're the same age and they're married, they have kids, they have a house and you don't, do not compare. Live your life. That's where this authenticity comes in. It's so important. Is the more you can live your life with your goals and why you want something, without what other people want, without what your parents think you should be doing or what you should have in your life and what your friends are doing, you go after what you want and why, and that's important to you. And you put that on your vision board for you. And the more you can do that without worrying about judgment, without worrying about what other people might think about it, because you are playing your game. It's your life. You get one shot at it. You're playing your game of life. and you want to go after what you want to go after and not worry about anyone else. So that is the biggest key, is make sure you're not judging it. You're not limiting yourself, and you're not coming at it with something that's not energetic enough. Remember, you want to make sure that you have something that's bigger than your fears. And that is the big key here. So that was a lot of information. I know that was a ton. I am figuring out this platform here. And so I don't know if there's chats on other things. I can't see them here through the Zoom webinar, but I am super happy for everyone that tuned in. Like I said, I've got a bunch of resources, worksheets, ebooks, things about motivating yourself, motivating your team, the sales success traits, all of those things. Make sure to email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. I'm super happy to send those out to anybody, to send that to you. No strings attached. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I just want to help you. Again, my mission is to empower and encourage a million authentic persuaders out there in the world of sales. And when we do that, we'll shift the way the consumers feel about it. They'll see that sales is actually a profession they can trust, like going to the doctor, where the doctor tells you something, you're going to do it because you trust them. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for the customers. That's what I want for the world. So email me any guides, anything I can help you with, please do that. Also, I had mentioned it before. If you want a free copy of Selling with Authentic Persuasion, just you pay the shipping and I'll get that out to you. So you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, or you can go to authenticpersuasion.com/free gift, fill out the form there, the information, and we'll get that to you. But that's it for this episode. I appreciate everybody for tuning in. Again, we're doing these Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, most platforms coming out there. And if you want to catch this replay, it's also available on all the podcast platforms through the Authentic Persuasion Show. And that's it for this episode. I appreciate everybody being here, and I will catch you next week. Have a great weekend.
That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion weekly live training session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar, and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.